Great to have you with us on Wisconsin Public Radio News. We're going to take a look at rowing. You know, rowing originally served as a way of transportation, actually, for ancient civilizations. Became a sport at the end of the 17th century. And here we are in 2024, and we're going to be talking about women's rowing today with Badger head coach Vicki Opitz. Vicki herself is a world champion, a Big Ten champion, All-American. She's been to the Olympics, and we'll also talk about the four Wisconsin rowing alums who are competing at the coming Olympic Games in just almost exactly a month, I think. Mm-hmm. And as we talk with Vicki, I hope you will join in. Are you a rower? Have you been part of crew at Wisconsin or somewhere else? What do you love about the sport? What questions do you have about the sport? The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. Vicki Opitz, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Larry, thank you so much for having me on, and on behalf of Wisconsin Women's Rowing, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. I've had lots of good experiences when it comes to UW sports, and particularly with rowing, so I'm glad to have you here. There's going to be a spotlight on rowing during the year's Olympics. And, you know, for some people, a lot of people have never watched a regatta, seen people row. Why should people consider tuning into rowing here for the Olympics?
That is a fantastic question. Rowing, in my opinion, is probably one of the most beautiful but also fiercest, like, you know, events you can watch. And the ironic thing is, if it looks beautiful, that means it is going really well, and it means that the rower is going so hard. Like, if it looks effortless, that means they're doing it correctly. But if you could, you know, if there was a way to look inside a rower's brain when they're racing, it would be absolute chaos of discomfort. So it's a very odd sport that it looks beautiful, but the pain cave, as we like to call it, is deep.
Yeah, and it's, to me, it's exciting to watch, mm-hmm. to be perfectly honest.
Absolutely.
And I like watching it in person, but yeah, I think TV does a pretty fair mm-hmm. job with it.
They've definitely gotten better, especially with the amount of drone coverage that started to be incorporated into our sport. Yeah. Allows it, you know, to get those close-ups and yeah. to really follow the racing. It definitely makes it more exciting.
So let's talk about the Badgers. The Badgers have a little history. Maybe give us a little history about, I mean, we started in, what, 1874?
Oh, yes. It is actually the oldest sport on campus here at Wisconsin. It has a very long history. Our men's team this coming fall will be celebrating 150 years of men's rowing, which is, you know, in itself an amazing accomplishment, let alone the amount of alumni that have gone on to do, you know, tremendous things, not only as rower athletes, but also, you know, out in the professional world has yeah. been extraordinary. And, you know, on the women's side of things, we just celebrated 50 years with Title IX 2 years ago. And I believe our lightweight team will be celebrating, I think, 35 years of lightweight women's rowing. So we have tremendous amount of history and alumni that have been through our doors.
Yeah. And how many women are rowing now for UW?
Great question. So it does tend to fluctuate given the year, but our roster size at the beginning of this year, between our varsity open weight women, our freshman novice team, and our lightweight team, was 140 athletes. So it's a football team in its own sense.
I was going to say it's about the size of in terms of numbers of the football team. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people involved here, not only here but at campuses across the mm-hmm. country. Well, we have prior. Let's think about the Olympics for a minute. Prior to the Olympics, Wisconsin women's rowers have gone to compete at the Olympics. I think it's 43, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. A lot of Olympian Badgers, and a lot of them were walk-ons to the sport, new to the sport in college.
So I think there are 37 Badgers who have earned 43 total All-American honors.
Yes.
What's the secret to the success here? I mean, this has been a really successful program.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I have to give credit to my predecessors. I think there's been a lot of really good, you know, coaches that have been at Wisconsin. I think there's been a lot of good administration that's helped support, you know, all of, you know, it takes a village to create a successful program. So that's been really beneficial. And I think there's something, in all honesty, about, you know, maybe it's our environment, the type of athletes that, you know, come to Wisconsin. You have to be really courageous and strong and determined to do our winter training when you're landlocked for a while with the ice. So I think it really, you know, celebrates and honors a type of athlete that is just very strong and wants to be the best in all they can do.
Who, and we have four going to the Olympics this
Correct.
Year? Who have we got?
We got Sophia Vitas, Maddie Wanamaker, Lauren O'Connor, and Grace Joyce.
And they are graduated.
Correct. They all have graduated within the last, I want to say, if I'm getting my math right, 7 to 4 years. And Sophia Vitas will be in the women's double. So that's a two-person boat with two oars per athlete. Maddie Wanamaker will be in the women's eight, and that's one oar. So that's a sweep boat. And then both Lauren and Grace will be representing the women's quad, and that's a four-person boat with two oars in each hand.
I'm wondering about, you mentioned novices. How do you form your teams?
That's a great question. We have a very strong history of walk-ons or novice culture. You know, typically, I think it's a pretty similar process that's still goes on that was, you know, kind of initiated in the 70s is we do go to SOAR. We look at, you know, men and women that, you know, have the physicality to be very good rowing athletes. And we are, you know, allowed to go talk to them during that process and just kind of approach them and be, hey, have you ever thought about being a Division I athlete?
and they say what?
we do get a couple of wide eyes, like, what are you talking about? But you know, so often we get these, you know, very talented three sport athletes that maybe weren't quite good enough to, you know, be recruited for their sport in college, but or you get the, you know, the students that come to Madison that wanted to always go to Madison, you know, regardless of their sport. But it's such an opportunity to, you know, make friends right away. You get tremendous, you know, support from the athletic department. It's a great way to, you know, if you make a competitive traveling squad to see the country and to compete against other, you know, like-minded individuals. It's very, very fun.
You know, we had when my daughter was very small, we had a gal come and babysit and just... She mentioned in passing that, and she was a high school kid, but she was on a rowing, in a rowing club, and she was really hoping that down the road she'd be able to land a spot on the crew. Is there much of that?
Oh, yes. I would say even in the last 10 years, the competitive level of our sport has gone through the roof. I mean, you have programs around the country that are recruiting top tier athletes. And even at the youth level, like the whole community and culture has just exploded. It's awesome for our sport. And, you know, at the collegiate level, we get very excited because you have these, you know, youngsters that started off earlier in their career and have developed a little bit more than, say, our walk-ons initially.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's an exciting and sometimes challenging balance, you know, working with our athletes that have those fundamental skills, know a little bit more about the sport than our walk-ons, but watching sometimes our walk-ons overtake them in terms of power and finesse. So it's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It reminded me when you talked about the walk-ons taking over. I was thinking to the back to the movie The Boys in the Boat, which I loved a lot. Did that and the book, which you I think say and most everybody I've talked to says the book's even better than the movie. But I really enjoyed the movie. Did that make any difference at all in interest? The book itself or the movie, did it have any impact on the interest among young men or women who wanted to hey, maybe I could try that out.
I think so. I think it'll be really interesting to see this coming fall because the movie came out, I believe, you know, around the holidays this past year. So I think it'll be interesting to see this fall how that plays out. But certainly, you know, the book's release, just having that dialogue out in, you know, the non-rower community. I have had, you know, a lot of people, you know, if I'm wearing a shirt around town that says rowing, be like, oh, rowing, Boys in the Boat, I've read the book. And it's, I think it's fantastic that it's just even a dialogue that people want to engage in and talk about.
When, in terms of novice, when you train, or how do you train novice rowers and bring them up to speed in order to compete?
Another great question. So you do it very methodically. You start with the basics pretty right out of the gates. While the rowing motion itself is not overtly complicated, there's a lot of variables. So you are in a boat with other athletes. So how they move their body through space can affect how you move your body through space. You are out there in the elements on the water. We do not always race on beautiful flat water days.
Yeah.
Often you get a lot of wind, a lot of, you know, bumps. So just learning how to be precise in a lot of variable conditions makes it challenging. But also that's what makes our sport, you know, really fascinating is how consistent can you be again and again and again.
Well, if there are eight people in the boat, everybody's got.
Oh, yeah. You got to get everybody at least pretty close to moving together.
I'm always amazed watching. We lived on Lake Monona, and so there was some practicing in the morning sometimes on Lake Monona. And it seems like they're just kind of moving along. But then when you see the coaches who are in the motorboat going along, they're going pretty fast.
Yes.
How fast do they? How fast does a crew boat? Get, do you think?
All right. That's a great question. You're putting me on the spot. I want to say, like, at the elite level, I know, like, a women's eight can get up to, like, 20 kilometers an hour, if I'm remembering that correctly. It can go quite fast.
That's fast.
Yes, yes.
Oh, man. So what's a training schedule like?
Mm-hmm. For, you know, I would say a pretty typical college athlete, or at least here at Wisconsin, depending on which squad you are on, we practice in the morning session, and that's usually, you know, around 6 to 8 in the morning, a water session. And then in the afternoons, we either have another water session or some cross training, you know, going for runs, running stadiums, which I think a lot of our alumni will appreciate the shout out on that. Stationary biking has become a really good form of cross training.
Yeah.
And a lot of lifting. Rowing is a beautiful balance of power and cardio, so you need to be good at both.
And the other good thing about it, it's low impact.
Yes, yes.
So you're not pounding your
No. feet on and the that's ground. What's tremendous about the sport, too, is there's been a lot of, I would say, older individuals that have kind of come to the sport in the masters category. And, you know, people that didn't do it as youths, didn't do it in college, but have just sort of gravitated to it, you know, maybe a lot of times post-retirement and just fall in love with the sport.
Actually, Marty and DePere emailed us and said, are there rowing races for people who are just interested in trying things out and maybe over the age of 60?
Absolutely. Oh, I'm so excited to like have someone ask that. Yes, absolutely. I would highly recommend reaching out to, you know, your local club, depending on where you live. Or, you know, I'm quite sure here in Madison, our local clubs do learn to row days, which, encourages people of all ages to come and try out, you know, what is this rowing thing? And if you really get passionate about it, there is Masters Worlds where you can also go travel the country and the world and compete as a master over 60.
Our guest today, Vicki Opitz, is head coach at the UW-Madison's women rowing team. We're talking about the sport of rowing. We're taking a look at the Olympics and certainly inviting you to join in with your questions or comments. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thanks a lot for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We are talking with Vicki Opitz right now. Vicki is the head coach of the UW-Madison women's rowing team. And we're talking about rowing. We're looking at the Olympics and certainly taking your questions or comments as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Let's take a call from Glenn in Fox Lake. Glenn, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. What I did for many years is I row trolled in northern Wisconsin in a 15-foot Grumman sport boat for muskies.
Oh, you're a good man.
I set up a footrest, and then I had three rod holders that were on the footrest. And when I got tired of rowing, I just had my – the boat was quite stable, and I had my life jacket on, and I'd cast.
And you got a lot out of that rowing, I bet, physically.
I did. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Well – Do you ever get any gals who were involved in rowing that way and got them started?
Actually, funny enough, out on the East Coast, a lot of lifeguards, they kind of compete in these like oceanic competitions, which kind of harken back to when they had to go rescue people with lifeboats. And it's funny, there's this addition to our sport, which is called coastal rowing. And that's where it's out on the ocean. And it's, similar motion, slightly different boats. They are quite heavy. They're usually a four-person boat is 300 pounds. And it's a mass start. And it's either a long trek that takes about 25 minutes to do this race, or it's a beach sprint where you have to start out of the boat, jump into the boat, do a course, jump out, and then run back on land. So our sport's evolving, and it sounds like this gentleman's already, tasted a little bit of that heavy boat training. So good on him.
Glenn, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Becca emailed us. She wonders, what advancements have been made in boats used for rowing and the paddles? How heavy are these boats, and what are they like for people who've never seen one before? They have to be pretty different from a recreational canoe.
Yes. Oh, yes. No, that's a great question. So the boats have definitely evolved quite a bit over time. In Porter Boathouse here on campus, we have one of the older original boats suspended from our ceiling, which was made out of wood, very heavy bolts and nuts holding it together, which I look at it and I can't even imagine lifting that, today. But most of our boats now are made up out of carbon fiber. So they are extremely lightweight, but also the flip side of that is extremely fragile. So if you don't step in a boat correctly, you can actually step through the boat. Also, shout out to our amazing boatmen that we have on our campus too, that they can fix anything, and they are artisans in their craft of repairing boats. So we're very lucky to have them.
And the paddles?
Those, too, it's interesting. That's kind of a constant change in our sport. The blade shape has changed over the years. It used to be a very long, they called it a tulip shape. And then there's everything now from kind of, there's like a convex flat blade to there's like C cups. I mean, you name it. There's like slightly different shapes that are supposed to complement, certain rowing styles or even the size of the athlete. But those are also made out of plastic. They are no longer made out of wood. So they are also quite a bit lighter than the original pieces of equipment of our sport.
So with a crew, would depending maybe on the ability or the size or the tallness, would the oars not be the same?
You can actually adjust them. So you can change the overall length, and you can change, it's a measurement called the spread, where you kind of move pieces of the boat around to complement people, because there are some individuals that have longer legs or longer torsos than each other. So you can kind of specify within a boat to the individual, but that being said, you don't want to get too extreme, because that can be really hard to then match within a boat.
Yeah. Paula in Green Bay, we'll go to you next. Hi, Paula.
Oh, good afternoon. And Vicki, it's such a pleasure to hear this interview with you and Larry. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Wisconsin, UW-Wisconsin, and all the coaches and the legacy that the program has in Wisconsin, because, you know, people may not realize this, but there are quite a few clubs in Wisconsin. There's one in Green Bay. There's one in Appleton, Milwaukee. There are people who have boats elsewhere throughout the state. You know, rowing is a bigger deal than people realize here in the state. And it's because of people, you know, it's because of the Wisconsin system. And I just wanted to say thank you because of that. I also love that you gave a shout out to Masters Rowing. You know, because, you know, I think when we look at the Olympics, we look at these people and it's like, well, you know, I'm 30. There's no hope. But you know what? There's a lot of hope. I started rowing with the club here in Green Bay. I learned to row because my husband was a rower in college. Oh. I've competed on the master's level, both in nationally and internationally. And it's really cool what's happening with rowing now with coastal rowing. You mentioned that. And another thing that's out there is that my husband and I have recently started doing is they have a mechanism that you can strap on a stand-up paddle board. And you use rowing oars, you know, sculling oars, to go out and scull. And that's just given for us, our rowing, a whole new aspect because we can go on water where you wouldn't dare take one of these skinny, delicate, you know, sculling shells because it would die immediately on a rock. And, you know, we've been able to go. We've been out on Green Bay. We've been up in the Michikanee Flowage. We've been in North Dakota. We've been in Minnesota. And so I would just want to say, you know, people, if you're interested, take a look around. There are ways to get into rowing. All these clubs probably have, I know our club does, we have Learn to Row programs. Give it a try. Give it a try. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful thing that we've done. And all I can say is, oh, I can't wait to see this U.S. Women's Eight. Go USA.
Thank you.
Paula, thanks a lot for calling. Well, that's a pretty nice comment.
Oh, my gosh. No, that was fabulous. And it's also so tremendously rewarding to hear someone, again, you know, later to life in the sport, have such a passion for it. And I think that's beautiful, truly.
Thanks again for that call. You can join in, too, 800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or experience to share. Somebody else wonders, does it change how you train if you have one oar versus two oars?
Ooh, another great question. I would say no. It changes only in, you know, the respect to the boat class. The motion is still quite similar. The mechanics are still quite similar. The speeds that you are trying to go are pretty close. I would argue, and maybe this is an unpopular opinion, I think it is more difficult to scull because you have an oar in each hand. And those boats typically tend to go a little bit faster just because you are able to accelerate more speed with two oars. But, you know, both sides of the sport, sweep and scull, really complement each other. And they're both uniquely challenging and rewarding.
How did you get involved in this sport?
A little bit of family history, I have to be honest. My grandfather was a coach here for many years here at Wisconsin. And my parents both rowed when they were in college here at Wisconsin. And I had always grown up hearing that it was an amazing sport and you meet some of the best friends of your life doing it, which I can honestly say is true. But I myself did not pick up the oar until I walked onto campus here in college. I was a tennis, soccer, and basketball player. And I like to joke that I still haven't gotten around to quitting, but absolutely fell in love with it. It is a sport that really rewards hard work. It's a direct correlation between the amount of, you know, effort you put into it and time. You see a lot of success. And it's tremendous. It really is.
Sue in northern Wisconsin has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say this is the best sport. This university sponsors. I'm so fired up that we're talking about the Olympics again. Here's my quick question, because I know you have a lot of people that want to contact you. When I started in 79, I was a group of women who tried to get our own locker room, and they threatened to go to, or they actually did, I'm not sure, go to the athletic director's office and take their clothes off and kind of make a protest. And it worked. We still had half of the locker room in the old boathouse, but it's just amazing how far we've come for the women's program.
Yeah. Sue, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
So, yeah, that's what it was like.
Oh, yes.
In the 70s.
Yes. I mean, those
and earlier.
Those women, I mean, we would not be here without them. Truly, they started and continue to support us, quite honestly, in all that we are trying to achieve. And it makes my job so enjoyable and rewarding to see these women that have come before myself and, you know, are so passionate about, you know, not only the sport, but also Wisconsin rowing, and to have them be role models, quite honestly, to today's athletes, I think is fabulous.
Let's say, you know, talk about facilities a little bit more, because the Porter Boathouse replaced that old boathouse that Sue was talking about, and it is quite a difference. Explain what that boathouse is like.
Yeah, no, we are tremendously lucky and fortunate here at Wisconsin. Our boathouse is on campus, which is actually quite unusual. There's a number of teams, a lot of teams around the country, where they actually have to travel to their boathouse and their facilities. So if you can imagine, you know, our practice already starts at 6 a.m. If you as a young student athlete had to, let's say, get up in the fours to drive 20, 30, 40 minutes one way to your practice and then back, that adds another whole, you know, challenge to the sport. But Porter Boathouse is actually here on campus. It's an amazing facility. We, you know, three teams use it. If you can kind of picture it, you know, you walk in the front door, you have an amazing community space with trophies of, you know, all of our historical memorabilia, wonderful, you know, coaches' offices that look right out onto the lake, locker rooms, and then you go upstairs, we have a weightlifting gym, we have three erg bays where we do a lot of our land training, stretching if we bring in, you know, people to come talk to us within the athletic department. And then if you go all the way downstairs, we have, oh gosh, at least five bays full of boats. And we're talking, you know, floor to ceiling. We are tremendously lucky that we've had a lot of good support over the years to be able to have a fairly good fleet. And it's an amazing facility. We're very lucky to have it.
I was remembering back, I think at the time there was some concern about the positioning of the boathouse because it was right along the lakeshore walkway.
Yes. You know, I hope we don't make too many people mad. We do have gates we like to drop when we're launching in the mornings. And, you know, at least in our minds as the coaches, it's just an extra probably 100 feet that people kind of have to reroute to go around the boathouse. It doesn't cut off their running path. We have made a couple of bikers a little unhappy with us. But it's really great for our student athletes because the accessibility, again, is, you know, amazing. But also if they want to go on a cross train run, they have Lakeshore Path right there. A lot of our athletes, maybe after a hard training session, like to go to the Union, grab a brat. You know, it's a win for us and we really like it.
And those and back to the bays, that I was trying to remember the number. There's several hundred boats held there, aren't there? There's 200 or 300?
There's a lot. We have to have, you know, one of the biggest fleets definitely in the country. And, you know, again, that's partly because historically we've had a long program here at Wisconsin. You know, but that being said, there's kind of a little bit of a shelf life of equipment. So we, you know, we are always looking to replace our boats for, you know, some of the newer models and, but it's also nice to have equipment for our novice athletes that are learning to row and maybe aren't as savvy in how to take the boat out of the water. So we let them use some of our older equipment that if it gets a little banged up, we aren't too upset. But yeah, no, we're very fortunate.
You know, as someone who's kayaked quite a bit, you know, just in a kayak, which is actually wider, I think, than a crew boat, and I've never been in a crew boat, but I thought to myself, I don't think I could stay up in the darn thing. I mean, they've got to be really tippy, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. They are quite tippy. We actually we have like a summer development camp going on right now. And one of our student athletes was her first time in the single. So a single is a one-person boat. And that probably from side to side where you actually sit in the boat is maybe 18 inches wide. Maybe.
Yeah.
So you are, you know, and then you're trying to balance, and there's a point in the rowing stroke where you don't have any, you know, support. You're trying to be as aerodynamic as possible. So you're trying not to touch the water because that creates drag. So there's definitely a lot of stability you have to practice. And that's why a lot of rowers have very good core strength, because you need to be able to really balance without falling over in the boat.
Yeah, I guess I would not be able to. I would have a hard time with it. Although I guess time in a kayak is helpful enough.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Well, let's talk about the Olympics. You've been involved in the Olympics yourself. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your experiences with the Olympics.
Absolutely. I've trained with the national team for about a decade, had wonderful experiences. I was a member of the Rio team and the Tokyo team. So some very interesting challenges, but also very rewarding experiences at the same time. So each Olympics, it's such an amazing experience. And I can say it's very different being an athlete there than being a spectator on TV. Certainly the athlete behind the scenes experience is it's so cool. Everything from the amount of publicity that you get to, you know, enjoy as being celebrated for your sport, to before you even get to the games, there's this event called processing. And that's where you get fitted with all the gear. You get media trained. You see, you know, other athlete celebrities that you're used to seeing on television just walking through the halls. And then you get to the village, and that's amazing too. It's basically, you know, an apartment complex of some of, you know, the most fit people in the world all walking around. And, you know, it's wild to, you know, be on your way walking to the dining hall in the games, and you see, you know, professional speed walkers just out for their walk. Or, you know, at Tokyo, it was the first time they had skateboarding. So you just see people skateboarding to the dining hall, and it's the most surreal experience, because, you know, every single person there is the top of their, you know, their class and their sport, but yet they're just normal people enjoying and loving what they do.
And you've been a world champion. Are the world championships different from the Olympics in terms of that atmosphere?
No, that's a great question. So in elite rowing at kind of the Team USA level, there is world championships every year that there is not an Olympic Games. So in a Olympic cycle, there are three world championships that lead up to the Olympic Games. Okay. So it's basically the exact same thing, except it's just not called the Olympics. Mm-hmm. But the year before the Games is very important. That's the qualifying world championship. So that's very stressful. You need to qualify to make sure you get into the Games. So not everybody gets an automatic bid to be a rower in the Games. It's very selective, and it's pretty cutthroat.
So, what makes those women successful rowers?
Ooh, that's a fantastic question. So knowing our four women that are going to be representing, you know, at the games this summer, I can say, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is their incredible work ethic. I think rowers are the people that tend to, you know, gravitate towards rowing as a sport. We like to say know how to grind. They just put their heads down. They work hard. They're not afraid to fail. I think that's also a really important characteristic is rowing is tough. It's not for the faint, and you can't always win. So you have to be willing to fail hard, fail often, but also know how to pick yourself up and keep on going and pushing for more.
How prevalent, Jeff wonders, how prevalent are rowing teams in college athletics? It seems like you know, being on a lake gives us a bit of an advantage over many, but how about that? How prevalent is the sport?
Ooh, I don't know if I could give you like hardcore numbers or percentages. I can tell you that there are quite, if you go to like the NCAA website for women's rowing, there's Oof, there's a lot of teams between Division One through Three. There's a lot of teams. And, you know, you think about just, you know, our numbers is probably one of the larger squads, but you have some D3 schools that are probably, you know, 20 to 30 athletes mm-hmm. on each team. So, you know, and I would wager at least at 100 schools around the country. That's a pretty large population just in terms of like yeah. varsity open weight women rowers.
Dawn emailed us. She says she's noticed that rowing crews don't face the finish line when while they race. It's behind their back. How does that change your mentality? And are you looking around at the boats that may or may not be passing them?
That's another great question. It is a funny sport that we do not face the finish line. That is absolutely correct. When you race, you do, you're in lanes. So you do have these sort of, you know, periphery visual cues that you can kind of know where you are. And there's usually lane markers on land that tells you the distance, how many meters into the race you're going. Typically, you try not to look around too much just because that can kind of disrupt the flow of the boat and it actually can break your concentration. But kind of, I would say a lot of rowers' mantra is to get ahead and stay ahead, and then you can see your competition coming at you. So,
Vicki Opitz, head coach at the UW-Madison women's rowing team. It's great to have her with us. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Having some fun today talking about women's rowing and the UW women's rowing team in particular. We're talking about the Olympics, too, when it comes to rowing with our guest, Vicki Opitz, head coach of the UW-Madison's women's rowing team. And again, join in. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Rowing events are divided into what? Two categories, sculling and sweep rowing.
Correct.
What's the difference there?
The difference is just the amount of oars an athlete has in their hand. So sweep, you know, I guess if you could imagine you're sweeping a broom in your kitchen, you usually have one, you know, piece of wood and you're holding on to it with both hands. And sculling is one oar in each hand. So two oars in sculling per person. Hmm.
And I'm trying to think of the proper words. How are the categories then divided up? So talk a bit about that.
Yep. So in sweep rowing, which is one oar per athlete, you have the boat class categories of an 8, a 4, and a pair. So that's a two-person boat, a four-person boat, and a nine-person boat with a coxswain. And then in sculling, the boat class categories are a single. So that's one person, two oars, a double, two people, two oars, and a quad. So that's four people with two oars. So not an octuple that has, you know, many oars, but they're very similar in terms of the amount of people in the boats. It's just strictly the oars.
Mary in Fish Creek has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. I am just enjoying your show so much. I'm glad I tuned it in the middle. I used to be on the Duluth Rowing Club, as did, it was an 8. We did some 4s, and my friend Kathy Bussett was on our team and actually went to Madison then and was on their team. And then we had Joey Krumpetich that went to the Olympics.
Well, while you were talking there, Mary, I saw Vicky's head nodding. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I had the pleasure of racing when I was in college at the Duluth International Regatta up there, and it was beautiful. And some of those trophies were probably some of the most beautiful rowing trophies I have ever seen. And it's just gorgeous up there.
Yeah. Mary, thanks very much for calling. I'm glad you were doing it. Al in Grant County, we'll go to you. Hi, Al.
Good afternoon. See, I just turned into your program. I was curious, when you're matching up a team, a rowing team, do you have to match the stature and physical abilities of the ladies, or can they be a mixture of heights and strength?
Yeah. Well, I know they tend to be tall.
That does help. The amount of leverage that you can, you know, kind of use with your limbs is definitely beneficial. But I'll also be the first one to tell you, it's in our sport, it is truly the fight of the, you know, or the amount of fight in the dog. I have rode with some women, you know, personally that are 5'5", 5'6". And they are fierce and they will not back down, especially if they're competing against an athlete that's 6'4". They don't care. So, again, our sport, if you have the determination, it can oftentimes override the physical attributes.
Although I must say, one of my students, one of my advisees was a rower, and she got married. I was invited to the wedding and the reception, and the reception, there were a lot of UW rowers involved in this. And so I'm looking at this, and they all look like about the height of a basketball player, both the men and the women, for sure. I also had a friend when I was starting college here, actually, as a freshman. I had a friend who was short, kind of light, and in the lines at the time, he was approached by the crew about maybe being a coxswain.
Yes. Yes, those are tremendously important positions. And that, I think, is the, you know, kind of fascinating dichotomy of our sport, is you try to get these, you know, typically very tall, strong, large muscled individuals. But then you also go for these, you know, usually smaller, more petite individuals that are the ones that steer the bigger boats and yell out the commands. So you need to also be feisty in the coxswain seat. And it's really fantastic. Our lightweight head coach is a former coxswain, and it's been awesome, you know, listening to him, you know, try to give his knowledge on how to be a better coxswain. And one of our amazing volunteer coaches, Chris Leyland, has also been a coxswain. So they have a unique perspective that they're able to be in the boats with the athletes, give them feedback, but not be the ones doing the physical task. So you definitely need those smaller individuals in the boathouse, and we wouldn't be a complete team without them.
So what's, there's got to be some, you got to be part psychologist, don't you, when you're a coxswain? I'm thinking back to the movie, The Boys in the Boat. It apparently does make a big difference, the ability of the coxswain.
Oh, yes. It is definitely an exercise in learning how to get the most out of your athletes, both as a coxswain and as a coach. You know, and it's very similar, I would imagine, you know, if, you know, just thinking of my own career playing tennis, like, you need to learn, you know, what kind of motivates people and what's going to, when it's, you know, you're going bow ball to bow ball with a boat, yeah, and, you know, it's kind of the heat of battle, if you will, out there. You have to be very clued in into what's going to make your crew go and push past any pain that they're feeling.
Bart emailed, you've mentioned lightweight and heavyweight, I guess. Bart wonders, what's the difference between regular rowing and lightweight rowing?
Great question. So in our sport, we have just a small kind of weight class division. So for female athletes, we typically, lightweights are 130 pounds and under. That's their race requirement at the collegiate level. And then open weight, heavyweight is anything above that. And there's no difference other than just kind of the weight aspect of it. And same thing with men's rowing. There's a heavy class or heavyweight division and also a lightweight men's division. And I believe, and someone's going to have to fact check me on this, but I believe men is 160 pounds for a lightweight man, I think, and under.
And someone else wonders, what is how much time does a student spend in practice, when you add up practicing and competing and so forth?
Well, as their coach, I would love to have them forever. But no, we typically, it's 20 hours a week in required practice time. And that, it is like a full-time job, absolutely, mm-hmm, especially in this day and age. It's you have to be consistent in your training. There's not a lot of flexibility, and it's really tough because it's a balance of, you know, especially being a student athlete, obviously, mm-hmm, your studies are always going to be first, but, you know, that you have those athletes as well that want to keep pushing and getting better and better and better. So you have to kind of navigate those waters and to make sure that they are, you know, staying healthy, getting as much rest, because that's also really important. So it's a lot of training. It's a sport that requires a lot of hours of getting better for a very short 6-minute race.
Yeah, for a very short race, it's many hours. What about in terms of staffing on your side? Mm-hmm. You certainly have medical people and trainers.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, it's truly, I am a small piece of this amazing team. You know, you have everything from the coaching staff to our director of operations to, you know, Coach Clark, who is our director of rowing, to our sports medicine, sports psych, our nutritionists, our, you know, our lifting coach, our boatmen, you know, the administration. I mean, it's a full team behind the team, and it's I could not be more pleased to work with my coworkers, and our volunteer staff too are incredible.
And nutrition help as well?
Oh yes. Yeah, no, they I'm always very jealous, because when I was in college, we did not have athlete lunch, and that's one of the perks of now being a student athlete here, and it's good food, and especially as rowers, you got to eat a lot, so it's exciting.
Sue in northern Wisconsin wonders about seat races. Mm. And do you still throw the cocks in the water if you win?
Those are great questions. So yes, we definitely do still use seat racing. Typically that's between two athletes that over the course of the year have been pretty close in their results. So that's reserved for kind of a last kind of final say in who gets a spot in a boat, a seat race. And then, I'm so sorry. Could you remind what the last part of that question was?
Do you throw the cocks in the water?
We do, yes. You know, typically we do check that the water is safe and clean before we toss them in, but that is absolutely still part of our sport and one that we love to celebrate.
And a listener emailed wondering, are there rowing camps or classes for youth?
Yes. Yes, here at Madison, we do have youth rowing camps and clinics. So our next one is, I believe, in middle of July. And they're about 4 days of, you know, it's everything that you could ever want to learn about the sport. You're taught by, you know, UW coaches that, you know, step in and, you know, give little hour seminars here and there. You get to be in a boat. It's a fantastic way if you're a youngster that's looking to check out rowing.
So how do you sign up for those?
I believe if you go to uwbadgers.com and you click on our sport tab, which is women's rowing, there should be a tab that says camps, and you just follow that link and sign up.
And a small cost connected with it, I assume.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. And Sue is also wondering, what's your prediction for the Olympics? How the Wisconsin or how the U.S. is going to do in rowing?
Sue, you're putting me on the spot. The one thing that I think people should know about the games, and specifically with rowing, is it's so hard to predict. I mean, you have people that, you know, have trained the last 3.9 years for this one event. And everything can affect it, you know, how you sleep, how you eat at that level, to if there's any sort of, you know, equipment malfunction in the race. For our Badgers that are competing, I think they have a serious shot at the podium. I really do. But that also being said, it's going to be very difficult just because the level of rowing globally has risen so much. So it's going to be some exciting racing, and I hope people tune in to watch our Badgers compete.
I will, for sure, and I bet a lot of our listeners will, too. Vicki, thank you so much. Been a pleasure.
Thank you.
To talk with you, and down the road we can do this again. Vicki Opitz, head coach of the UW-Madison women's rowing team. It's great to have her with us and learn more about what's going on in the rowing community. And I want to thank you for joining us today. This and all of our shows are a team effort. Producers Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud, our technical directors Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins, and our executive producer Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on WPR News. Stay with us.